Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be running through chapter 8 of the book of Romans. It's really kind of cool. One of the people out of the first service said, you know what? Said the one thing that I really picked up out of this was that the chapter 8 starts with a verse of hope and promise and ends with one also. He said, it is so cool. I'm going to share those two verses because it's kind of wasn't what I'd planned on doing in this order, but he caught it. It was called, wow, one of those I got it moments. Verse 1 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, remember we came out of how we got this struggle and, you know, this sin struggle, this problem struggle that we go through. We came out of that in chapter 7, you know, the identification of the wretched man that I am. And then in Christ, though, there's no condemnation. Well, we're going to go, as we go through chapter 8, you start off with no condemnation and you end up with, and there is no depth or height or any created thing that's able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You talk about chapter 8 just kind of being if it doesn't send us out of here going hallelujah, dancing to the Lord, you know, we kind of missed the whole point, didn't we? Wow. Anyway, we're on week 6 of our spiritual warfare emphasis. And I'm going to deal with the eye problem one more time. And you know, if you're like I am, you think, okay, well, let's see, where he's preaching a 12-week series. There's 6 of them, and he's dealt with. Man, hooray! We're finally getting ready to go to the world and also to Satan. Yay! Well, next week we'll start digging into some of the world's. And the spiritual warfare that comes out of that. But today, as we finish up here looking at the eye problem, and I know we've spent a lot of time on it, but the reason is you and I cannot effectively whoop up and kick the eye problem if we really don't get it. If we really don't, and it's the biggest one that we've got. In the realm of spiritual warfare, the eye problem is the biggest one we've got. It's the old nature. And we are dealing with that over and over again. And if we don't get it under control, if we don't figure out and get a grasp on how to deal with this thing, as it comes back to haunt us, which it will, it will. Paul tells us that in chapter 7. It's nothing that you just, oh gee, I just shucked it, it's all gone. It will be with you until the day that we go home to be with Jesus. But if we haven't dealt with that, and it's going to keep coming back with us and haunting us until we get to the point to where we have said, you know, Jesus, you really can have all of me. Jesus has got to have all of us in order to be able for us to whoop up on and really win over the eye problem. You see, and the reason he has to have all of us, and this is, he's given us we all know he gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We got the power, right? I mean, I can stand up here and jump up and down, scream and holler and talk about power today. But we've got that. But unless we let Jesus have all of us, that power is kind of like sitting in idle. It's like some of those engines, Jim, that were sitting out there in the cars yesterday. Unless they crank them up and move them, they're just sitting there. It can be that, like that one was, 700 and some odd horsepower, the big 500 and something cube special engine that the guy had in it. I mean, it was nice, but I mean, unless you fire that rascal up and there's nothing that comes out of it. And Jesus gives us this power so that we can overcome all these temptations and so that we can even overcome the lies that we feed ourselves and develop ourselves and that we fall prey to. And he gave us the power even so that we can easily say yes to him in whatever it is that he desires us to be about doing. The thing that I found, though, is the way this thing works. How many of y'all like math? There's a few. Yeah, a couple math people. Formulas are wonderful, aren't they? Most of the time. I mean, they kind of give you kind of a way to put wrap your head around things. The thing about this, how much power gets released in my system by Jesus, if you will, and I have to say to start off with, though, you've got 100%. The power meter is at 100%. It's there. It's running all the time as 100% of the power of the Holy Spirit ready to go into action in your life all the time. God didn't come into our lives and say, well, Jerry, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you 5%. And if you do real well with the 5%, I'll give you a couple more, you know, as time goes along. And if you do real well with that, it's a little bit later on, I'll give you a little bit more. And if you don't do too well, I'll take it back away. He didn't do that, did he? What did he do? He gave us 100%, all, the whole power he gave to us. But here's how this thing works. You see, how much of that power is being used in my life is inversely proportionate to how much personal will I am exercising. That makes sense? The more I try to do it out of me, the more willpower I exert, the less that God uses in the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Wouldn't it be so much easier if what we did would say, okay, God, here I am. Yes, Lord. Boy, talk about getting flooded. Amen. I mean, you are going to see the power of God go to work. So it's kind of that inverse formula thing. I've got to back off of the willpower instead of trying to do it myself. And as I do so, God is going to take care of it. He's going to do it. He will do it through his power. Whether it be a temptation you're facing, whether it be an addiction you're facing, whether it be some habit you're trying to kick, whether it be a bad self-image, whether it be a sin, whether it be some struggle that you're dealing with in life, stress or whatever. See, this is what this say yes to Jesus thing is all about. The more I say yes to Jesus, the more power is turned loose and used in my life. It's there. I just need to say yes to Jesus. Well, let's look at how this works in kind of a practical way. And we're going to look at the thing that Paul talks about in here. And he talks about sin, obviously. Does anybody have a sin problem? Maybe I ought to say, put it another way. Does anybody not have a sin problem? Because we're going to separate the liars from the... Yeah. Because the Bible says that if we say that we don't have any sin, it says we're deceiving ourselves and we are liars. Amen? So we all know that we sin. In fact, I think one of the problems that we humans have, and even us Christians, because we have this propensity, if you will, to sin, we end up coming out with things to try to rationalize it. We try to say things like, oh, gee, I'm just human. I couldn't help myself. I'm just human. Or the devil made me do it. Amen? Or one of the later ones, I was born that way. Or we come up with some other excuse. But we've got this propensity, if you will, to sin. And Paul tells us in verses 12 and 13 that, hey, you've got to be able to deal with this propensity or this desire that you have to sin. Otherwise, you got a real problem. He says, you're falling prey to the old nature again, the I problem, the, if you will, the self thing. Let's look at verses 12 and 13 real quick. He says, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. He's talking about this thing. Really, he's talking about an obligation, if you will. Who are we going to obligate ourselves to? Are we obligating ourselves to the old nature, the flesh, or are we going to obligate ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have the freedom? Obligation. What does obligation mean? Anybody? If somebody says, you're obligated, what does that mean? Huh? You're beholding. You got a responsibility to it. Yeah. It's being in debt to it. Really what it means, it means you are a debtor to whatever it is or to someone or whatever. Jim Mundy was in with us this morning. Jim's a banker, and you know, he said, I understand that real good. To get somebody to sign on the dotted line, he said, then they are obligated to the bank to pay. So as we're looking at this sin thing, we go, okay, what does the Bible say about sin? The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Back in Romans 3, and then Romans 6 says, and the wages of sin then is death. In other words, somebody's got to make a payment. Well, Christ made the payment for us. Okay, so I've been set free, right? This is where the beautiful part of all this is starting to, it's going to come together. See, the good news is because Christ set me free from sin, he set me free from death, did he not? He set me free from the penalty of sin, being death. We like that, don't we? What does that mean to us? He set us free. He set you free from the penalty of sin. He set you free from that. What does that mean to you? Really, anybody? Where are you going to be? You're going to go to heaven. You're going to go, and you will be with Christ Jesus forever and ever, right? He set you free from the penalty. Because what would happen if he had not set us free from the penalty? What would we have to do? We'd have to try to earn it ourselves, and then we'd end up on the short end of the stick because the ledger would still be against us, right? Okay. Now, what Paul's saying, though, it's telling us that it goes even deeper than the fact that he set us free from the penalty. He also set us free from the obligation that we have to the sinful nature. Whoa. Okay. That old sinful nature wants us to do things that we don't want to do. That's how Paul said it, wasn't it? Right? And when Christ set us free, he set us free from the penalty, but he also set us free from the old nature itself and being under obligation to respond to the old nature as the old nature tries to lead us in a sinful way. Praise God. In other words, I don't need to listen to the old nature voice anymore. The old sin nature has got no hold on me anymore. Does it have a hold on you? It shouldn't. Not if you've been set free in Jesus Christ, because he set you free from the penalty and he set you free from the old nature, the obligation that the old nature had upon you. And that's what Paul's talking about here in 12 and 13. So that means God has set me free totally through the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also set me free from my compulsions that come out of that old nature. You go, but I still got them. Well, yeah, but you've got a problem is you're trying to exercise self-will instead of God will. You're trying to exercise willpower instead of God power. Okay? But that's a real big deal because before I had the Holy Spirit in me, I knew what was right and wrong. Most of us did we not? And what did we try to do? We tried to do right, and we found out we didn't do right because we couldn't quite live up to it. So we'd always end up falling back, and we'd fall under the compulsions, if you will, and we'd try to fight it with our own willpower. But as a new man, as the new creation with Christ in me, I've now got God power in me, and I also don't have the obligation to listen to the old nature. Because now I can call on Jesus, who's my Lord, and he will give me the power that I need in the moment of the temptation, which means that as a Christian, I've got this power where I can say to that old sin nature, no. Praise God. How many of y'all like to say no? Especially when I can say it to the old nature. Sometimes we like to say no to our kids too. I think Dave Shell thinks I like to say no all the time. No kidding. Yeah. But we have the power to say no to the old sin nature. Saying no. Don't forget that. That's one of the weapons you've got in your arsenal. You've got that weapon in your arsenal to whoop up on the eye problem, on that self wanting to follow the sin thing. You've got the power to say no. Another one of the weapons we've got in our arsenal comes out of verses 14 down through 16. Really, without me reading the whole thing, but I've got to read it. Never mind. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. Now, that ought to light everybody's fire. Are you being led by the Spirit? I mean, if you know Jesus Christ, I hope you're being led by the Spirit. Because it says, if you are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. In other words, if God's Spirit is in you and you're letting Him work, I mean, you probably won't do it all the time, but most of the time you're trying to let Him work. You are truly a child of God. You are a son of God. And it goes on and says, for you've not received the spirit of slavery. Dave, remember we talked about this on Wednesday night, the slavery versus sonship thing a little bit, or Tuesday night at our small group came up. Anyway, and it went on and said, for you haven't received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's cool. Abba, Father is a love, intimate expression. It's like calling out, Daddy. Do you realize? Stop and think about this. When you call out to God, you should be calling out to God, Daddy, out of the depths of your heart. Daddy. Not, oh, God. He says you're part of His family. He says, Abba, Father. I mean, by the spirit of adoption as sons in which we can cry out, Abba, Father. I mean, if you don't do it vocally, you should be doing that out of your heart, out of your spirit. Abba, Father, you're connected that way. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Wow. The next weapon that you've got in your arsenal against the eye problem is to know to whom you belong. Know to whom you belong. See, we're sons. You can say daughters. It's okay. Whatever. You are a child of God. That's what counts. Amen? And that means whenever you're in the middle of some struggle, you have peace of mind knowing that you're part of God's family. And we need to remember whose family it is that we're part of. You know what? God's family is more powerful than Guido's mafiosa family. My God, the Father, is more powerful than the strongest of the mafiosa families. You think about this. Who is your father, your real father? Who is he? It's the creator of all the universe. It's the ruler of all creation. It's the one whose name is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's the one who spoke and it came into being. It's the one who went to the cross and said, I'll die for you. Man, I can call out to God, my Father, because I'm one of His children, and I can say, God, here's what I'm dealing with. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to go, I don't have time. No. He's a loving God. He loves you so much that He gave His life for you. You know what He's going to do? He's not going to look the other way and say, I'm too busy, kid. Come on. Knuckle up. Get tough. He's going to say, I'm going to take care of you. I'm there with you. I'm walking with you. And when you can't, I will. When I call out to Him, I say, God, help me with this struggle, whatever it is. Maybe it's getting angry. Maybe it's coveting. Whatever it is. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's the stress of life, of work, or whatever. Call out to God, and what's He going to say? Child, I'm with you. Amen? I'm with you. I'll take care of you. Take my hand. You're safe with me. It's part of the family benefit. You know, and here's one of the other wonderful ones. Because He is who He is, because He's the God who loves us, the God who cares about us in every aspect of our lives. How many of you go to the supermarkets or the store sometime and you have to take one of those numbers? And, you know, you'll watch the lights as they change. God, I got a problem. Well, they hurry up with the ones in front of me, right? Or you go to the doctor's office. Don't knock on the glass. You know, they all have the signs. Don't knock on the glass. Most sign in and go sit down. But God, I got a problem now. Don't worry, I'll get to you in 45 minutes or so. What kind of insurance you got? No, that's not God. How does He work with you? Anybody? Huh? Right now. Yeah, I mean, you can go to Him and He's there right now. You don't have to set an appointment. You can go to Him right this instant. The other thing is, you don't even need an intermediary. You don't need somebody that you got to call out to so that He goes and calls out to God and takes your message to Him. In other words, you don't, as a pastor, you don't have to come and hunt me up, call me on my cell phone, set up an appointment so that you can tell me about whatever it is that's going on in your life and say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Because I know that my prayer won't go up, but yours do. You have the red phone. Amen? Now, I'll be happy to pray for you. I love to pray for you. I'll take the time to do it. But I'm not in God's chain of prayer. You know, you don't have to go through me to get to Him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. No. Yeah. But we don't. You go straight. Amen? Amen. You go straight to God. Talk to Him one-on-one. That's part of being the family. I mean, when you're dealing with the eye problem, you want help now. You don't want help next week when I can work you in or when God could work you in. You need it now. So remember that. You're part of the family, and because you're part of the family, you got benefits. And He wants you to use those benefits. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to come to Him immediately. He wants you to listen. Amen. He wants to talk to you. He wants to share with you. He wants you to share with Him. Okay. Next thing this one's kind of important too. And it's also another one of those big, I call it a blessing as well. How often when we're facing something, do we get so focused on the whatever the something is that we forget about anything that's going to happen an hour from now, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, a decade from now, a century from now, or when we're by the time we're home with glory, right? We get so focused on the minutia. And listen to what Paul says in verses 16 and 17. 16 and 17, he said 16, to repeat, said, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Wow. If indeed we suffer with Him, goes on. It says, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. We don't have everything right now. We don't have it all. We don't have all the blessings that God is rolling out. We got a bunch of them. Amen? Amen? But we don't have all of them. There's some rewards and there's some things that are still coming. But so often we get so focused on the today we forget about the tomorrow. And that doesn't mean all you do is concentrate on the sweet by and by. You also live in the today. So you got to deal with the today. But you've got to also keep in balance with that the fact that we don't just live here today. We've also got an eternal future with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's eternity. That's forever. We need to remember the long haul. And the Bible tells us that we're going to, when we get to heaven one day, I mean, it talks about this fact that there is this tomorrow, you know, this next year, this whenever that happens to come, if the Lord comes back, or if we die before and go on, then that time is coming on down there. But the Bible talks about this future thing, and it's good for us to remember. Matthew 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about rewards and this type of stuff. One of the things I think we need to remember, and it helps us to keep the eye problem in right perspective. I think sometimes we need to remember what is it that we're doing with our time? What is it we're doing with our money? What is it we do with our influence? What is it we do with our talents? Are we using all of that for things that really count? In other words, what is the eternal perspective? What is the ramifications for the kingdom about how we use our time, how we use our money, how we use our influence, how we use the talents that God gave us? See, if we can pull back and realize that everything that we do today also has significance tomorrow and on down the road, we start to think a little bit more about the tomorrow, which helps us balance the little micro spot on the timeline of today. Amen. When you're thinking about the big picture helps you to keep from getting micro-focused on the minutia. So think about the long haul, if you will. And we are fellow heirs. Think about that. You know, when you're sitting there fighting against the sin nature and the old nature, think about the fact that you're a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. That helps you get your mindset onto the future again and the longer haul. Because if all we do again is deal with the, if all we do is just focus in on that little spot, where do we go? We tend to go straight to the pity party, don't we? It's terrible. And then we come out of the pity party, and you know what else, where we go from there? We go to this, well, gee, I hurt right now, so I'm going to have my party. Tomorrow I'm going to be home with the Lord. Or, oh, Lord, you know what? It's really hard to be like a Christian. And, Lord, they're being mean to me. They were mean to Jesus Christ on the cross. But he died and paid a price so that you and I could have a future with him. Amen? But Lord, making those decisions that I need to make today, they're difficult and they're going to hurt. Yeah, but it's going to impact your life for the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, whatever number of years. Focus forward. Start thinking about kingdom. Think about what Christ has done. Joint heir. You are a co-heir with Christ. That's forward, not just here. That's forward. Amen? Don't think about just short term. And you'll find that the eye problem starts to vanish. Then the other weapon that I want to tell you about, and then we'll close with this one. We serve a God, and we have a God who is both good and a God who is in control. And when you're dealing with the eye problem, or you're dealing with that sin, that nature, the old nature, don't ever forget that our God is good and that our God is in control. You know, Paul tells us how broken, as you go through the rest of, we're not going to read it all, but as you go all the way through the rest of chapter 8, he talks back basically about how broken the world is, how messed up it really is, how it's lost its purpose, how it's suffering, and there's all this stuff that's going on. In other words, it's not Alice in Wonderland's fantasy world. The world is a hard, difficult place. Stuff comes up in life. And so often, it is so easy for us, if we forget about the way it really is, that God is really in control, it is so easy for us to fall into what I call it, it would only be better if only. And you fill in your blank. It would only be better if I had a really high-paying job and was making as much money as so-and-so. It would only be better if I had a really super nice house and wasn't living in the part of town that I'm living in. It would only be better if my kids behaved like so-and-so's kids. It would only be better if my kids had grades like so-and-so's, or if they were going to such and such a school. It would only be better if I wasn't whatever. Amen? See, when we fall prey to that, we're feeding. Remember I talked about feeding the two natures? When we fall prey to that, we're feeding the old nature. And one of the ways to keep from feeding the old nature is to remember that our God is good and our God is in control, totally and absolutely. And one of the really cool things that really just kind of, I hope it just kind of jumps out there and gets us all, but Paul reminds us, if you read through the rest of this chapter, Paul reminds us that when things really are bad and you don't know how to pray, who does the praying for you? Holy Spirit. And you know what else he tells us about? He says that the Holy Spirit prays for you. That means when you're dealing with something and when you're really struggling with it, do you know who's praying for you? The Holy Spirit himself is praying for you. Praise God. You know, you may be sitting there going all over the place in your prayers and the Holy Spirit's cutting right through the chase. Our God's in control and he is really good, because if he really weren't that good, I don't think he'd have given us the Holy Spirit. But he gave us the Holy Spirit. And because he did, he's powerful. He's on my side. He's on your side. So remember, God's good when you're dealing with your eye problems. One of the other, Paul hits it in verse 28. He says, we know that all things work for good for those who love him. Wow. Everything in our life, folks, God will use for good. If you know Jesus Christ, he's going to use everything in your life for good. Everything. And he's greater when you're getting whooped up on. Remember that he's greater and he'll use that whooping for your good. When somebody's criticizing you, don't ever forget that he'll take that criticism and use it for good in your life. We need to really remember that one. And that brings us all the way to verse 31, the last verse, one to close with. I'm sorry, all the way to 39. No height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. You talk about a good God. You talk about a God who's in control. When I'm dealing with my eye problem, you're dealing with yours, I just need to remember that my God loves me and that he's going to take care of me and will give me exactly what I need to make it through the moment. I need to remember that my God is good, and I need to remember that my God is in control, even when sometimes I'm not. I need to remember that the Holy Spirit's lifting up prayers for me when I really need them. I need to remember that there's nothing in my life that my God doesn't care about. He cares about what you and I put on this morning. Think about that. He cares about every small aspect of our lives. And I need to remember that my God is not going to reject me. He will never stop loving me because I am a part of his family. I am a child of God. Folks, we may, as Christians, we can lose an awful lot in this life. Really can. But there's one thing you will never lose. You will never lose, if you know Jesus Christ, you will never lose your salvation.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
You will never lose the love that God has for you. And you know what? Armed with all of this, you can defeat the eye problem. You really can. Through the power of Jesus Christ. Not through your willpower, but through the power of Jesus Christ working in you. Question I would have for all of you this morning and for those who are watching on the internet this morning would be, do you know Jesus Christ? Because this doesn't work unless you have him in your heart, unless you know him as Savior and Lord. This works for the children of God. So if the Holy Spirit is showing you this morning that you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, follow what the Holy Spirit shows you. Ask God to forgive you. Accept the forgiveness. Honor the fact that God loves you and wants everything so good for you. And so much so that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for you. And that Jesus Christ, in fact, is God. And our loving God did die for you. And then 3 days later, He arose again. But ask His forgiveness. Accept His forgiveness. Believe in His name. Trust in His name. Trust in Jesus. And turn your life over to Him. It's not hard. He makes it very easy. Just follow the Holy Spirit. And He'll help you. For those of us who already know Him, you may have things going on in your life where you really just need to deal with them, and you've been struggling with them, and you haven't been able to come up with how to on your own. Let Jesus. Just let Him. Let Him take control of your life totally. Turn your will over to Him. And let the power that He has, that He wants to use in your life, be turned loose in your life. Because He will help. He'll do it. He'll take care of it for you. He really will, no matter what the struggle, no matter what the issue. Let Him. Father, thank You so much that we could be here today. And as we just listen to Your Holy Spirit in these next few moments, may each one of us, Father, respond in whatever way that You want us to, whatever way You're calling us. There may be an issue that we're dealing with in our lives, a struggle, a sin, a temptation, a stress, a anger, a bitterness, or health, family issues, whatever it may be, Father. May each one of us, whatever that issue is that we're dealing with today, may we just allow You to use Your power to carry us through it. I just lift this up to You, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd ask maybe for let's just keep our heads bowed for a couple moments. Let God talk to you, minister to you. You talk to Him. Praise team's they'll play quietly in the background for a few moments. If you need to come and use the altar, if you need to have somebody pray with you, grab one of these brothers and sisters who are sitting there next to you and say, hey, would you pray with me about? They will. But lift up whatever your request or your petition is to the Lord. Make that commitment that He's calling you to make today. Whether it be a commitment for salvation, whether it just be a commitment for a deeper walk and growing with Him. Lord Jesus, we just thank You that You do love us that much. You love us so much, more than words can ever express. And we thank You. We honor You. And we lift up our petitions to You. We lift up our praises to You. For it's in Your precious name that we pray this morning. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.